Cornerstone. Welcome to Cornerstone today. You ready to sing? Rise to your feet. Christ be magnified.
Christ be magnified.
part of me. Amen. Is that your heart? Christ be magnified in me. Number one, the number one thing. So welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome those of you who are online. Today is an interesting day. And some of you probably are not aware, but we have a guest speaker today. His name is Rick Hadley. He is here. He's going to be speaking, and he's speaking about the supernatural. So it's going to be a pretty interesting message, and I want to encourage you. I know from when I was a teen all the way up, it's the supernatural is an intriguing thing, and yet it's not something we want to be sucked into. There's a dark side, and there's a light side. And so as we sing, we're singing about God and his power and remembering how much greater he is than anything on the dark side. So we're going to think about some of the dark side today, but we want to think about it in context of the light. And God is light, in him is no darkness, and he knocks out the darkness. He defeated darkness through the cross. So I was reading about the blood of Christ in Hebrews this morning, and man, the blood of Jesus is powerful. It is powerful. So you're going to hear about some powerful things that might be a little scary. But they're not scary when we know Christ. Christ be magnified in me. He's more powerful. So that's just a little heads up for what's coming. And we want to sing a couple more songs together.
How great. Great is our God. All will sing how great is our God.
Sing that again.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great.
King of heaven, my
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Sing that again. You're the name above all. God, and all will see how great is our God.
Amen. Lord, we come before you today, and we are remembering your greatness. And God, we only have just a small glimpse of how great you are. We really essentially have no clue how great you are. You've shown us some, and the power of Christ's blood is huge, and yet we have so much more to see and to understand that we will someday, God. Strengthen our faith today, deepen our faith. I pray that you will use Rick as he brings this topic, this subject, to our attention, and I pray that you'll use it to encourage us, to remind us of things we need to think about and we need to be aware of. God, there's a spiritual battle. It's real. It's real. It's a battle for souls. So, God, we pray for your strength in us to be able to be part of that battle, to engage wisely, and to see lives changed. So, God, use Rick today and stir our hearts in all the ways that you intend to. God, remove the barriers. Let us be open to hearing what you have us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, it's good to sing these songs. I hope you were encouraged by them. We have a question of the day. As the kids, third grade and under, are heading downstairs, what is your favorite thing about your hometown? I don't know if Kutztown's your hometown or another town's your hometown. What's your favorite thing about your hometown?
Good morning, Cornerstone.
Good morning, Rick.
All right. Mic's working. We're in good shape so far. So glad to have the opportunity to speak here again. Pastor Nate did say to me before the service that G2G Church isn't coming today. So I have about two and a half hours. Right. See? You heard it right there. So make sure you're comfortable. Right? Get a pillow. 1 o'clock. We got a 1 o'clock quitting time. Very good. There's so much of God's creation that we really only have a vague understanding of. Nate alluded to it during the songs, especially when it comes to things like angels and demons, speaking in tongues, interpreting them, just all that kind of stuff that we maybe a lot of us haven't seen. Maybe some of us haven't heard from anyone who does claim to have seen any of that stuff. But it's in the Bible, right? And if we believe the Bible is God's inerrant word, then it's real stuff. Right, even if we can't see it. So God has spoken to me a whole lot these past 2 weeks, especially since I really started delving into this. I do believe that my hairs have stood on end more in those past 2 weeks than in my entire life leading up until that point. And so my hope today is that God also speaks to you guys through me, really. Here I am with the mic, right? So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then I got a reminder, and then we'll get into it. So here we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone in this room. Everyone here is a soul you died to save. I thank you for that love that you have for us. I thank you that it does not end, it does not lessen, And I just pray, Lord, that everyone here would feel touched by your word today. We're going to get into some kind of hairy stuff. I've got some stuff to share that, again, makes my hair stand on end, and I'm guessing it's going to be the same for some people here. And I just pray, Lord, that through it all, you would be here with us. You would remind us of your greatness, and that we wouldn't lose sight of that. So in your name I pray. Just a quick reminder about the intense nature, right? So if you got kids here and you're thinking they shouldn't be here, no harm, no foul. I won't be offended if you want to send them down to a children's church or someone else. And there are no set notes today. I thought about adding notes in, but I ultimately decided not to because I just kind of wanted it to flow. And really the only spot where I felt like I had actual notes for you to take was at the end anyway. So it's kind of weird to start up at the end. Cool. So here we go. We're going to start by looking at our society, like American society's take on the supernatural. And oop, it worked. There we go. Was that up behind me?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, now it is. Like zoinks. So there we go. Okay, so our society, right? We got horror movies, right? I'm sure everybody's probably seen a horror movie at some point, whether you enjoyed it or didn't. You know, that's your own personal thing. There's been an uptick, if you ask me, in the darkness level, right? Like the evil that people accept as entertainment anymore in like the 70s, maybe starting in 1973 with The Exorcist, I don't know. But if anybody's ever seen Nosferatu, it's kind of like silly, right? 1922, like that's what people found okay to watch in a movie theater. But then you get into stuff like you got Pet Sematary still gives me nightmares. It, I watched that movie, gives me nightmares. The Ring, just the Saw movies, just horror, like just tearing people apart for the sake of tearing people apart. And that's what society now really kind of finds acceptable, right? I mean, not everyone in it, but they're out there and people watch them. Music, right? I got a bunch of the more satanically influenced, in my opinion. I did a little bit of, you know, quick Google searches, looked at the band's web pages and stuff like that. You can read the list behind me. I'll talk about just the top two, the one on the top left and one on the top right. Little quick story, and this was a seminal moment in my faith. Growing up, I was a trumpet player in the band, and I think I was either a freshman or a sophomore because this guy was 2 years ahead of me. He said he went to a Rob Zombie concert, and I like Rob Zombie, right? Dracula, and I dig through the witches, and that's cool stuff, right? And then he shared with me, when he was there at the concert, they flashed behind him on the big Jumbotron 666, right? We know what that means. And he looked me square in the eyes and said, "It was awesome." I'll say, "Oh, I see," right? And this is all of his goosebumps already. Look at this stuff. I realized right then and there that there is light, there is dark, there is good, there is evil, and I don't want to be on the wrong side, right? I don't want stuff getting a hold of me. So I stopped listening to Rob Zombie. White Zombie is his band before he went solo. And then Ozzy Osbourne, another song that I really liked was Mr. Crowley. I don't know if anybody knows Ozzy Osbourne. Mr. Crowley is a very melodic song. I still, sometimes it pops into my head. It's a great song musically. I listened to it up until I realized that it's about lining Christians up against a wall and shooting them, so killing Christians in the end times. And Aleister Crowley was the founder, Anton LaVey was the founder, but Aleister Crowley was big-time Satanist in the Satanic Church. I don't listen to that song anymore either. And food, right? Hot sauces, big hot sauce fan. To know Rick Hadley is to know that he loves the spice, likes the feeling of his face on fire and his face melting a little bit. But some of these, like, they don't try to hide it, right? It's like something to be played with. It's like a game. Lucifer's Last Blast, Speedy's number 666, French Kissin' Satan Sauce. Yeah, give me that. This Deicide Devil's Hot Sauce. Like, they're treating it like it's something to be played with. Right? The devil, Satan, six, whatever. It's good fun. Breakfast cereals, maybe you're going to roll your eyes at me. Count Chocula, Boo Berries. Like, they start young, right? This stuff is okay for your kids, right? No problem. Halloween, it makes me honestly feel a little sick when I walk around on Halloween and I see all the demonic masks and the witches and all that stuff. You know, my kids don't want to dress up like that, thankfully, and so I haven't had to have a fight with them about it, but nothing against Halloween necessarily, but that's part of it. Companies, right, the symbols that they have, Starbucks, Citgo, AOL, CBS, Time Warner, that Eye of Horus, right, it's on our dollar bills, right, that pyramid, Citgo pyramid, the Eye of Horus, it's in there. It's all right there. So society doesn't generally perceive this stuff to be real, or if they do perceive it to be real, it's still not a threat, right? So how many still report that they believe in this stuff, even though it's just a game to be played with, right? So we're going to, in small groups, right, not just with the people you came with, find someone who's not in your car on the way here, what have you, talk about these four different phenomena, right? How many Americans do you think believe in ghosts? How many do you think believe in demons? How many do you think believe in stuff like vampires, zombies, werewolves? And then how many might believe in stuff like Bigfoot and aliens? And why do you think that might be? So, for example, you think a lot more people believe in ghosts than demons. Why might that be? A lot more people believe in Bigfoot and aliens than vampires, zombies, and werewolves. Why might that be? We'll definitely talk, and I know I'm on a time crunch. So we'll definitely talk about the percentages and maybe get into the reason behind it a little bit, too. So find someone around you. What percentage of Americans believe in that stuff? I think about 30 more seconds. What percentage of Americans do you think believe in ghosts? All you said? 100%. All of Americans believe in ghosts. You're not an American if you don't believe in ghosts. What was it? 75%. 3 out of 4. 50%. 5-0. How about in the back? What do you guys think? Okay. Maybe like most Americans... Few Americans, many Americans. Middle to most? It's like 50% or above, right? Cool. So I got a range here because I looked up a whole bunch of different studies. I think I had like 5. It was 40 to 57% based off of the study. So that's like half-ish, right? All right. Oh, wasn't supposed to do that. You didn't see that. You did not just see that. Demons! What percentage did you guys come up with? 43%! That's my boy right there. He's a smart kid, like his old man. What'd you guys come up with?
We just said a lot.
A lot? Okay. A lot? A little? Okay. Ta-da! The big reveal. There it is. We got 43 to 46% for the demons. Very similar. Ghosts, demons, right? How about vampires, zombies, and werewolves? What do you got there, Will?
10%.
You creep. Another smart kid. He's another smart kid. Yeah, he's back there with, he's got the info. All right, so it's lower, right? Does that surprise anybody? I don't feel like it should, right? Even people who believe in like stuff like ghosts and demons think that like that's kind of kooky stuff to believe in, I think, in my experience. Bigfoot and aliens. I clicked twice? Doing some noob stuff. We got a noob on stage, if that's clear. So really quickly, did anybody want to share what you guys talked about as far as why ghosts and demons might be higher, or if you did think that, whatever you thought, why one might be higher than the other? Is there a reason for it? Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah, and like a vampire is kind of more specific, like maybe a demon could look like a vampire. I don't know, right? But if you've been poked by a demon or believe you've seen a ghost or something, right? Most people I've spoken with haven't said that they've seen a werewolf, right? It's just not something I've heard from a person. So, any other thoughts? Yeah, Nate.
Okay. That comfort,
so ghosts aren't anything dangerous, they're more comforting. Okay. So people actually go to like diviners and all, they go to seances trying to communicate with dead people they miss, so maybe there's like an emotional aspect to it also. Okay. Right. Could be. Okay, so we're going to go back in history now, right, to the Old Testament first and see what the Bible has to say about some of this stuff, right? It's in there. We'll just take a quick peek. So Genesis 3:1, the serpent in the garden, right? This is the fall, the start of the horror story. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Right? Serpents talk? I've never seen a serpent talk, right? So is this just a myth? Right? Just, you know, get people thinking, did Moses not like snakes when he's penning this thing? He's like, "I hate snakes. That snake, that's the reason we're in this predicament," right? I don't know. Could be. It's in the Bible, right? So we also have in Genesis 6, this is after the fall, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. This is going to come up again very shortly. Basically, the way I interpret it, and I think the general way that a biblical scholar would interpret it, is the fallen angels, right, used to be angels in heaven, decided, no thanks, I'm going to do my own stuff now, fall out of heaven, out of grace, and they're sleeping with human women and making demigod kind of babies with horns and junk, and they can lift things, and I don't know, right? But they're big, they're giant, and they're in the Bible. Were they real? We've also got Saul, King Saul, right? God's first chosen king of Israel, going to a psychic medium. I'm sure God was very pleased with his choice at that very moment. And it looks as though it worked, right? If you remember the story, it's in 1 Samuel in 28. Saul is in a tough spot. He needs Samuel to come and give him some wisdom. So he goes, of course, naturally to a psychic, right, to a medium. And it seems like Samuel actually shows up. So did the psychic have powers? Is this demonic? Did the demon bring Samuel here? Did God just allow this? I don't have the answers for that one, but it looks like it worked, right? Dead guy coming back. Is it a ghost? What do you call it? And then I've got Aaron and Pharaoh's magicians. If you remember when Moses is charged with getting the Israelites out of Egypt, he's given the authority to perform some miracles, his brother Aaron too. Exodus 7:10 to 12. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did what the Lord commanded them. Aaron threw down his staff before Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called on his own wise men and sorcerers, and these Egyptian magicians did the same thing with their magic. They threw down their staffs, which also became serpents, but then Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. A couple takeaways. God has power, right? According to the Bible, he can have people turn things into other things. But if you read a little further, what happens next? Pharaoh calls in his magicians. They do the same stuff. Did God give them that power? I would like to posit that he did not. Therefore, demons have power. That's how I read it. Thankfully, right? Spoiler alert, God's power is stronger than demons' power, and that snake eats up the other snakes. Good deal. And last one from the Old Testament, Daniel's help is delayed. This one's creeped me out for years and years, right? We don't read this kind of thing too much in the Bible, but here's one instance. So Daniel's got a prayer. He's asking for God's help, and God sends a messenger who's going to answer, but Then he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel." This is the angel, the messenger speaking. "Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in to come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." What? Right? Hey, come on. "Then, a little bit later, the one who looked like a man," this is the messenger again, the angel, "touched me again, and I felt my strength returning." This bugged Daniel out. Daniel, who was very close to God, sees this thing and loses his mind a little bit, right? "Don't be afraid," he said, "for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong." As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger and said to him, "Please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me." He replied, "Do you know why I have come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come." He's got a checklist, right? Got to fight off this demon, got to fight off this demon. Is this kingdom? I got it. You know, we got stuff to do. I got stuff to do. Got demons to fight. "Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael, your spirit prince." So, I don't know. I still kind of go to this place. A little boy in me wakes up, like, how do archangels fight? Right? Are they force choking people? They have fireballs coming out of their hands and like laser beams coming out of their freaking eyes. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But that's how I picture it. How do angels fight? We have a little glimpse, right? And also he talks about light and dark. I'm going to use my pointer here. We got spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, right? He's got to fight that one. So light versus dark. And then spirit prince Michael. He's also called a spirit prince, right? Archangel, spirit prince. So we've got light and dark spirit princes duking it out in a realm we can't see, and it clearly affects us sometimes, at least with messages being delayed. Now, the Bible isn't the only source of what scholars would call like myths, right? Or these supernatural things happening. Lots and lots, really all, of the ancient societies, and hopefully you can read some of it. I'll be talking mostly over it anyhow. They all had gods and goddesses, right? If they didn't have God, capital G, they had lowercase g, gods and goddesses. And if you remember what was just said in Daniel, there's a spirit prince of Persia, there's a spirit prince of Greece. So they have their regions, right? Ancient Rome and ancient Greece, Roman Greece still today, they're close to each other, right? In the Mediterranean Sea, they share a sea. What do you notice about the gods and goddesses, if you can read it? Same, right? You've got a name that's different, right, at most. So you got Aphrodite, goddess of love and beauty. That's Greek. Roman, Venus, goddess of love and beauty. You guessed it. Sometimes even have the same name, Apollo, in both of them. God of the sun, arts, and medicine. And you just keep going. They're all the same, just the names are different, right? Maybe the ancients weren't so crazy. Maybe there's truth in the Bible and truth in what we see here with the Greek gods and the Roman gods. In a different area of the world, they had slightly different gods and goddesses, but within that region, they were very similar, right? Norse and Celtic. Norse is like, I think, Norway, Denmark, kind of Germany and stuff. And then the Celts were in France and Britain and all that. So Europe, basically, right? So you've got Father of the Gods, different name again, Odin in the Norse pagan religion, and Dagda in the Celtic. You've got Celtic knots, which when I think Celtic knot, I think Celtic, right? But they're also, if you ever see Thor's hammer, right? Mjolnir, any Marvel fans, right? It's on there. Right, so the Celts and the Norse, different sets of beliefs, but still very many similarities. Human sacrifices, right? Celts were more into it than the Norse were, but they both did it. And remember back to Genesis 6, where the sons of God breeding with the daughters of men, right? The gods visited our realm, is what they called it, to impregnate women. Are they all just making this up separately, or is something real going on? Again, with Genesis 6, Jötnar and Fomorians were the respective giant races. Jötnar in the Norse, Fomorian in the Celtics. Nephilim, giants, men of renown. It shows up in both, right? Last one, and I do apologize for this one in advance, but I feel like it's important to look a little bit at the darker side too. And then this is going to lead into the next part you'll see. So Mesoamerican gods, where's that? Anybody know? Say it louder. Mexico, right, Central America, right, kind of down into South America, but mostly in that middle part. So you have like the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Inca were a little farther down, but they had some similar beliefs. We'll worry about the Mayans and the Aztecs. They were absolutely vile. Capital V, capital I, capital L, capital E is how I put it up there by most people's standards. Tlaloc, one of their gods, the god of rain and other weather events, demanded child sacrifices, and not only that you sacrifice your children, but they should be crying because tears look like rain, right? When they go up to be put on the slab to have their beating hearts ripped out of their chests and put into a bin, right? Maybe you wear the kid's skin afterwards, maybe you eat them, maybe, you know, they did all kinds of stuff like that too. But I see some people screaming. Not screaming, squeamish, right? What's my word? Squirming. It's my beautiful wife right there with the assist. Squirming. It's just ugly. Yeah? Here's another one of their gods. Huitzilopochtli, maybe that's how you say it. God of war, the sun, and ritual bloodletting demanded daily blood offerings. Maybe the priest was thinking, today's a pretty good day. You know, we've had the rain, the child sacrifices worked. I'll just cut myself a little bit and bleed into this here altar, or, you know, the bowl, whatever. But very often they would decide that things needed to change. They needed some kind of assistance from this god of theirs. And so they would do basically what they did to the kids with their prisoners, with whoever, however the level of, you know, the level of need dictated, they would sacrifice just about anybody. They're still beating hearts out of their chests. They would eat them. They would flay them, right? Skin them. Wear their skins around. Ward off demons, whatever they were doing. Okay. So, how do you explain this away as just a rational thing, you know? Like, how does this just happen? It's like, what would a scientist say, right? So, we're going to break again in just like 10, 15 seconds into your groups again, discuss how a scientist, and I'll get this stuff off the screen here. We read it already. Would a scientist or someone who's trying to rationalize all that explain it away? Like, what was it? What were they thinking? Why would they do that? What might someone say to explain that? Make sense? All right. Take like a minute and a half. About 30 seconds. Okay. So not that what they did makes sense, but how might someone try to make sense of why they did what they did? What'd you guys come up with? You got something. I heard you talking. Okay. So they don't feel like they have power over things, and then you got to make up a reason that things are the way they are, and somehow control it, control your population. Okay. Okay. Sure. So, a way to explain the unexplainable.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep, there's got to be an explanation for it, right? So if you don't have God telling you how he did it, then maybe some other lowercase g gods are doing it. Maybe you're making it up on your own, right? It's what a scientist would say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And maybe it did.
Yeah.
One time, so they continue to do it.
So they're desperate, and there's a drought, and they're losing their minds, and like, well, what's the most drastic thing we can do? Take a child, rip his or her heart out of her chest still beating. They're crying, right? Please don't rip my heart out of my chest, mommy, daddy. And then, brat. Oh, hey, rain. And it worked. Could be, right? How do these things start? All right, so I'm sure there are probably a few more, but these are the ones I found and came up with and have heard in my years. Mass delusions, right? You got to believe something, right? How do you explain all this stuff that you don't really know how to explain? Mass hysteria, right? Your stuff's going south and you're losing your minds and you're going to do something drastic, and it worked. So let's do it again, right? Mental disorders. I've read a number of books. I actually have a degree in psychology, and that was a big one where a lot of scientists say that, like, these people lost their minds. Some diseases that were running rampant back then, like syphilis, right? You start to lose your mind eventually, so maybe it was just something like that. And if a king winds up with a disease like that, then it filters on down, doesn't it? People have to do what the king says. Myths created to control the population. Right? If you're the king, you got to control your people, make them fear something, make them think you're a god, but more than just a man. Simple ignorance, right? They just didn't have the knowledge base or a rational thought process. They didn't have the scientific approach, didn't have the scientific method, so that's what, you know, people do. Okay, so let's get crazy. Lots that cannot be explained. We're going to look at speaking in tongues first. Not going to ask you guys to like raise hands or anything. I've seen someone who claimed to have spoken in tongues, and then I've seen someone who also claimed to have spoken in tongues, and it wigged me out. And even Christians are kind of divided. It's in the Bible, right? But even we are kind of like not quite so sure how to approach that one sometimes. And demonic possession. I heard from someone I was speaking with while preparing the sermon that the Greek, and I did look this up. I don't have the Greek word up there for you, but the Greek word isn't possessed. Whenever it's in the Bible and you're reading, he was possessed by, that's not what the word actually means. It means demonized. So they don't possess you. They don't own you, right? They're affecting you, sure, but maybe not owning you, like maybe our language is set up to make us think. Okay, so speaking in tongues. Here we go. It's in the Bible a few different places, two of them, or three of them, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians, it's in there twice, in 12 and 14. Is there a rational explanation? Which one might you come up with? A lot of Christians, like I said, maybe think it's bogus too. At least today, maybe you think, okay, that's fine. It was a thing for the Pentecost, right? But I've never seen any kind of flaming tongue come down out of the sky and land on someone's head and then split, and then we got flaming tongues on all our heads and we're speaking languages we had no business learning, right? No business speaking because we didn't learn them. What's really going on, right? I found an old Nightline report. I actually found it again. I had seen it years ago about people speaking in tongues. There's a study that was done. There's a neuroscientist who is into this whole religiosity thing and why do people believe what they believe. And he spent some time scanning people's brains while they were both praying in English and praying in what they claimed to be were tongues, right? So I'll play the video. It's about 2 minutes long. And then I'll come on back up here.
He's recently published a study of Americans speaking in tongues. Remarkably, he discovered that what's happening to them neurologically looks a lot like what they say is happening to them spiritually.
Make sure we got your whole head in there.
We asked Pastor Jerry Stoltzfus to come to the university to have his brain scanned while he speaks in tongues. This way, we could see the experiment in action.
I don't think faith is anything to be afraid of from science. Science validates faith. So bring it on. Whatever the facts are, bring it on.
Just go ahead and you can begin prayer.
First, he's told to pray in English.
Father, I pray for each of the family members involved in this study. Grant them what they are looking for in their personal lives, for their vision and their potential.
Then he's told to speak in tongues.
This is the first scan when he was in prayer, speaking in English. This is the second scan when he is praying in tongues.
Pastor Stoltzfus's scan showed that his frontal lobe, the part of the brain that controls language, was active when he prayed in English, but for the most part, it fell quiet when he prayed in tongues.
When they're actually engaged in this whole very intense spiritual practice, religious practice for them, their frontal lobes tend to go down in activity, but I think it's very consistent with the kind of experience that they have, because they say that they're not in charge. It's the voice of God, it's the Spirit of God that's moving through them.
Dr. Newberg says the results were even more dramatic on subjects who were scanned without a Nightline crew in the room and who were not speaking in tongues on demand, as Jerry Stoltzfus had done.
Okay, did you pick up on it? Right? He's scanning people's brains while they're praying in English, speaking, they're in charge, and the parts of the brain light up that show him that they're speaking. When they're speaking in tongues, those parts of the brain don't light up. So whether you're speaking your language or another language, that's the part of your brain that you use. What's the conclusion? Words are coming out of their mouth. They're not forming the words. Where are the words coming from? Not from them, not from their brain, right? Sounds just like what the Bible says it is, right? Maybe God knows what he's talking about. Additionally, if you heard, if you listen later on, I cut it. Before we get to this point, but he also did a study with Buddhist monks who were meditating, right? So are they kind of like going somewhere off in a trance? The opposite was true. They were even more dialed in while they were meditating. The part of their brain that is language and, you know, the thought and the process and all that, that was even more lit up. And also Franciscan nuns, when they were praying, they pray really intensely, and it's them praying, it's not the Holy Spirit, right? It's not coming from somewhere else. Stark contrast to speaking in tongues. There it is. Okay. Could it still be those things, a mass delusion, a myth, a mental disorder where your brain shuts off in that spot when you're, you know, you can whatever? It could be, right? But it also could be exactly as the Bible describes. All right. So I have five different people's stories here that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to go... not super quickly, but again, I'm looking at the time, and I have a 7.5-minute audio clip that I absolutely must play. So I'll start in order, right? I'm going to talk about a friend of the family. We're kind of out of touch now, but this friend of mine was in the Special Forces, right? He was no sissy. I'll vouch for him, and he seemed perfectly sane to me, right? He had been, and he shared some stuff, like he's the kind of Special Forces where he doesn't really tell you what unit he was even in, where he was, when he was there, what he was doing. Like, we didn't know much. He was just vague generalizations is what I would get from him. But he was behind enemy lines. He was shot at behind enemy lines. And he said he was never, ever more terrified and full of dread in his entire life than when he walked by his son's room one evening, and he just froze, shaking and sweating. His son comes running out of the room and says, "Daddy, I just saw a demon come up out of the floor. It looked red. It looked like it was burning embers. And then an angel," the kid said an angel, right? He's assigning his meaning to it, but sounds right to me, "came in and fought the demon off, and it went away quickly." Special Forces guy is not going to be sharing that stuff probably with anybody unless it actually happened. What would the purpose of that be, right? And I could see it in his eyes as I was talking to him, that this terrified him. Goosebumps again. Here we go. I've got a few incidents where I really truly believe that something happened, angelic or something like that. I had maybe an interaction with an angel. There were two pastors where I could swear their face changed, right? Like they're talking to me and like, this is the face of something else, right? This is an angel God, I don't know. Again, maybe I'm mentally ill. Maybe I'm delusional. You can explain that stuff away. Also, there's an instance where I went out with a group of friends, you know, kind of poking at the darkness, and we had a brand new camcorder, full battery. It shut off three times as we walked by a grave, the same grave, and the last time it shut off and we couldn't get it open again. I don't know. Could have just been a fluke. The one that really makes my hair stand on end, Amber and I, a number of years ago, took in her grandmother, because she was kind of running out of money, you know, she's getting up there in years, and we didn't want her to go into a home, so we decided to take her in. And she requested that we do Bible studies, and at the end of, I believe it was the first one, wasn't it? We got to one, right? the end of the first one, she starts reporting laughing in the spirit. She's giggling, right? And then she starts talking in tongues, all right? And I'm like, okay, this is an old lady who's been, you know, all over the place through her life, and that's fine. She looks at me dead in the eyes, all right? Her eye goes black. Like, I didn't see iris. I didn't see white. I see black. And she says to me, you know, deadpan, you can speak in tongues from the dark side too. My skin was crawling. The best I could describe it is either I felt like something was going to come out of her or come into me. I can see my arms. I don't know. I don't know if you have goosebumps too. This freaks me out to this day. We stopped doing the Bible studies after that. We didn't do them with her anymore. It was a complicated relationship in the first place. I hope she's in heaven, but I don't know. I believe this stuff is real, and at some point something got a hold of her. And frankly, I'm thankful it didn't come out of her, but I don't know. Maybe that would have strengthened my faith even further. I don't know. But okay, next story. A close family relative of mine, again, not crazy, as far as I can tell, has experienced a lot more than I have time to share with you guys. But the main sequence of events, his parents recognized something affecting him in like his late teens, early 20s. At one point, they were going back and forth arguing about something, you know, parents and kids do. And both of his parents have told me this happened. The thing that was in him started talking, different voice, right? Started talking to them, said things like, he's mine, right? He's worthless, right? They, what do I have in my notes? I don't remember what they said they did. I think they just kind of ignored it then. But what they eventually wound up doing is they took him to their pastor, and this part he told me, he said his pastor put his hand on his chest, like right here, looked at him straight in the eyes, and after about 5 minutes of warring with my relative and the thing in him, the thing demonizing him, you know, not possessing but demonizing him, it kind of left, right? He said he sat down later that evening, he felt like he wasn't even sitting on a couch, he felt like he was floating. Right? A release, a relief. Not the end of the story, unfortunately. When he wanders, and he does, he's got a lot of, you know, just things that eat away at him, and a lot of, I would say, kind of self-defeating kind of thoughts and things that he has a hard time with. But even still today, he sees shadowy, human-like abominations, is the best way to describe it, both while asleep and while awake. He has, on multiple occasions, had dreams of the things biting his feet and ankles, woken up, and he's had bite marks on his feet and ankles. His wife has verified this. I've spoken with both of them. They've seen them. She oftentimes, and they again, we don't talk about this all that frequently. He doesn't really want to. I don't think she really wants to. It's, you know, not something that you really want to bring up and live in. But he'll wake up screaming. He sees things, nightmares. He shared some of it with me. He's not comfortable sharing all of it with me. And we're pretty close. It affects him. Like I'm telling you, this stuff is real. Also a member of Cornerstone. Again, this person asked me not to use their name. I'll try and say they and them, because if I say he or her, he or she, rather, you know, not a big community, and that'll narrow it down a good bit. But this person, also not crazy, everyone in here at least knows this person, as a kid was at a missionary's house right after they had returned from Africa. So the missionary's family just came back from Africa. This person and their sister were in a room, just sitting there, nobody else in the room, and the bed started shaking violently. Their father heard the ruckus, came in, and said, "Whatever you are, you do not have authority here. Leave. The blood of Jesus covers us." And that was apparently enough to stop it. This person also suffered from a kind of a sleep paralysis thing, as they called it, when a little older, would wake while sleeping, not be able to move, right, paralysis, and see a dark figure either standing at the door to their bedroom or at the foot of their bed. First time, the only thing this person could say was, "Lord, help me," right? Didn't say, you know, "In the name of Jesus," any of that fancy stuff, "Jesus Christ, power of Christ compels you," nothing like that, just, "Lord, help me," and apparently that was enough to get it to go away. It kept happening. Eventually, this person was more annoyed than terrified. Just, you know, what this person was saying worked, strengthening faith that God, you know, Holy Spirit is going to intercede. And interestingly, if you ask me, this all stopped after they got married. That whole Where two people gather in the name of Christ, there I am also. Maybe, I don't know, but that's when this person said it stopped. Okay. The audio file now. I'm going to just set it up for you briefly. It's about 7.5 minutes long, and I lost some sleep, quite frankly, over this. And I tried my best not to edit the audio because it's pretty long and all that when it was getting dark out. I tried to do this during the day because it affected me. Okay. This person has said I can share the name and everything. So Ben is his name. He was a member, still is actually a member of Morningstar Fellowship in Brining'sville. I don't know if any of you know it. It's a pretty big church. We, Amber and I and our kids were in a home group there, and he was one of the members in it. Ben is a farmer. He's a down-to-earth kind of guy, affable. People like him, right? And briefly then, I'll just share this one story of his that leads into the one that he's going to tell you guys on his own. 13 years old, he was in Haiti. With some older missionaries. They were in their 50s. They were like youth group leaders. This is 1999. Apparently down there, the voodoo and all that, like death dance and all that stuff is so pervasive that the Catholic Church itself practices voodoo. They work it into their sermons and whatever they do. I don't know. But he was there. He saw that stuff. He said he saw many demonic practices and events that can only be described as coming from demons, supernatural. People don't do this stuff on their own. Okay.
My parents took a woman in, and the story that we were told, again, it's...
Over here. So they had a woman come stay with them, is what he said at the start. His parents let a woman come in.
My parents took a woman in, and the story that we were told, we only know what we know from given instance, was that she was trying to come out of a satanic coven. And there was definitely demonic things that went on. How much of everything we were told was true or not, I don't know. We were told that when we left, people actually came and tried to get her. Supposedly, actually, somebody died at our farm, but all of this was removed before she left, So I don't know about some of that stuff, but there was absolutely demonic manifestations. She's sitting on our front porch, and she starts screaming because, the way she described it, this satanic coven was trying to hit her with demons to basically pressure her, harass her into coming back and or kill her for leaving. And so she starts screaming and says that there's demons coming over the hill. And, the most interesting part about this was that she says they're flying. This is a spiritual realm that we can't see, but the animals could see. And so the goats and the cats and everything split before these demons even got to her. And you could see handprints on the woman's neck choking her until, we prayed and, finally these things give up and move on and, didn't kill her, but sure as heck harassed her, choked her. Never made her pass out. But and there was another instance where we had talked to somebody that was and again I'm young, this is early teens, but there was another instance where we had somebody that gave us a prayer to pray, and to them it was very important that we used the name Jesus Christ fully, both first and last, Jesus Christ as the authority. And so we had these prayers on a notebook paper that, we're praying, and when the demons would hit her, these things they'd scratch us. Her eyes are closed, and yet she's it's almost like supernaturally she knows where our bodies are, and, you had to hold, it would take four people to hold arm and leg. I still remember very clearly, you hold an arm or leg down, or else, it's like a wild animal. These things are going to scratch you to pieces. And it would be a different voice. There was lots of deception and lies. Supposedly there was angels, supposedly, that were going to tell us our future and all of this. Just lies, scams. But one thing that I very specifically remember one time that just blew me away is that, we're holding her down, maybe putting your knee on her wrist and holding with your hand, and your other hand you're holding this notebook paper and you're praying these prayers. And again, this is the infancy of my faith. I'm not sure if I would handle it the same today or not, but this is where we were. And this, I think it was a right hand, and this right hand breaks free and in one swipe grabs this notebook paper and balls it up in the hand, and in a coordinated motion with her eyes closed, being oppressed, you know, assaulted by this demon, this thing whips the hand up, throws this paper in her mouth, and she's choking on it. And you can see the person fighting against the demon as the demon is trying to choke the person, and the person is breaking, you know, trying to break free. And ultimately, in the end, at, you know, right the last minute, you think somebody's gonna choke out and die. Then this thing, she spits this thing out across the room, and it bounces off the far wall, and the demon's gone. And never killed her at our place. She definitely was assaulted, and, you know, like, it went on and on. And ultimately, my parents ended up making the decision. They didn't know what was right or what, and they ended up asking her to leave. But I mean, in my early teen years, I'd wake up at 1 a.m. hearing the screams from the room that she stayed in from another demon assault. It was a very, very violent thing, and not something that I believe at this point in time would be wise to invite into a home. You know, I can't help but wonder if it had effects on our family or what. So, you know, there's definitely authority in the name of Jesus, but there's definitely, you expose things to you, and your home should be your sacred home. And in some ways, it made my faith much stronger. In some ways, I know the authority of Jesus, but I don't really care to, I don't like the dark. I don't like spiritual stuff, things I don't understand, can't explain. You know, the last thing I'd want to ever be caught doing alive is being in a haunted house or something. Like, that's not something. The demonic is a very real force, a real thing. Another thing, you know, there was definitely, you know, like, demonic power or whatever. I walked over to her once. She really liked Lipton iced tea, and so I took a Lipton iced tea over to her, and she looked at it, and just looking at it, she spun the cap, and it spun, and, you know, they're under pressure, spun the cap, and pop, it popped open in my hand, and the lid flew off. And I'm like, excuse me? And then I don't remember what the deal was, but I either upset my parents, or I don't know what it was, like, hey, you shouldn't have done that, and okay, I'm not going to do that again, I'm sorry. Not supposed to be using my powers, which had been pulled from evil. And that was the thing, is that she had these demonic powers. Supposedly, what we're told is that, you know, you use that demonic power, and that it brings those things back and gives them a foothold. So I don't know. I mean, that couldn't be denied. You know, the notebook paper thing, definitely not denied. You know, supposedly they called us in and they're trying to tell me my future, which was definitely not God's future for me. I think it was meant to derail the future that God did have for me. And so, you know, he's a liar. He'll use anything to lie, and he will take you. They, you know, they play for keeps. They want to kill you. And, you know, she was an extremely overweight, obese woman. She had had knee surgeries. She had had, you know, sexual assault. Supposedly she was born into this, and supposedly they had actually taken parts of her body for rituals, sexual rituals that are gone. Many of the things you hear about Hollywood type Illuminati type deals is very much a lot of the same things that she shared. And you know, the odd thing about it is she was like 34, 35 years old, if I remember correctly. And after we had told her she needed to move on because we just weren't comfortable with things anymore, we weren't sure, you know, within a year, she was found dead of natural causes in her bed. Odd, right?
So that's absolutely terrifying. Let's unpack it a bit, right? So, these are things that I've heard multiple times from the people I interviewed, my friends and family members I've spoken with who have had some kind of interaction with it. They all are of the mindset that the enemy uses like different strokes for different folks, right? So in this country, you don't have to do things like that, right, out in the open. It would probably strengthen people's faith in God, you know? Like, we're plenty happy enough to have our own wealth and our own way of life, and we just do what we do, leave us alone. Satan's not real, God's not real. That's a winning formula for the enemy, is it not? Right? You don't believe he exists, he can't hurt you. You don't believe God exists, no problem. You're God, right? It's working here. I think it's working in this country the way he has it set up. The next thing they all say is that we let these things in, right? It's not like they just come and are going to attack you typically, right? At least in their experiences. We open the doors. Bible's very clear, right? All kinds of proverbs, all kinds of warnings in the Old and New Testament, right? Guard your heart. Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't mess around with this stuff, yeah? Unrepentant sin opens a door. One of my friend from before who had that dread feeling, right? The special forces guy, he said, we let that thing into our house, unprompted. I didn't ask him questions like that. These are the things that they want us to know, right? And then also part of Satan's plan, his strategy, what he's capable of, whatever he can do, he'll do it, right? You let him in, he's going to do what he can do, trying to derail you, convince you that you're worthless, that you don't matter to God, that you're not how God created you, that it's hopeless, whatever lie is going to wind up working for you. There's a good chance he's going to find it, right, if you listen. They always say, a friend from here from this church said, no need to ask questions. Don't ask him stuff. They got nothing for you. They got nothing to share with you that's of value to you, right? They want to pull you from your loving God. Okay. So now we spent some time looking into the dark. Let's look at the light, right? Where's our hope? Where's our hope? Matthew 8, 28, 32. This is now officially one of my favorite stories. Jesus is walking with his disciples. They come across this scene here, and I'll go ahead and read it for you. Matthew 8, 28 through 32. And when he came to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men confronted him as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. And they cried out, saying, what business do you have with us, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? Now there was a herd. I'm sorry. I wanted to pause here for a second. What are they saying there? Have you come, Son of God, recognizing who he is? They know him. They know him. Have you come to torment us before the time? Is there a fight left there? Do they have a fight left in them to fight? No. It's a question, right? Are you going to do what you're going to do to us now? We thought we had some time, right? We're in these guys here doing our stuff, man. Like, is this it for us now? No fight left in them. Now there was a herd of many pigs feeding at a distance from them, and the demons begged him, saying, if you are going to cast us out, send us into the herd of pigs. And he said to them, one word only, go. Authority. And they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. Demons know their place, right? They have power. That's fine, right? They're smarter than we are. They can go between dimensions, whatever they can do, right? But when they see the Son of God, that's my king, right? I hope he's your king too. When they see my king, they cower, they recoil, they scream, they beg, right? Send us to pigs. It's better to be in those pigs that are going to drown than it is to face you for one more second. That's my king, right? In Luke, they call them legion, right? They talk about themselves as legion. I think it's in Mark also, right? This isn't just one either, okay? I don't know exactly. I don't see behind the curtain. I don't know how many were poking at my relative. I don't know how many are poking at our church member here. There's probably a bunch of them poking at that lady that my friend Ben from Morning Star Fellowship was talking about. Doesn't matter. All of them. They recoil. They surrender. They shudder. In 1 John 4:4, but you belong to God, my dear children, who have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Not saying that there's no power in the spirit that lives in the world, right? Let's be clear. Let's not go, you know, knocking on haunted houses' doors or trying to summon up demons and stuff, right? But there's authority in the Spirit of God that far outweighs whatever authority was given to Satan and all his little minions, right? Matthew 10:28, just the first half, so I have A. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Jesus was maybe talking about Pharisees. Applies to demons too. But do you hear in these two here, do you hear the hope? Please hear the hope. All right? It isn't just like, you know, like my kids hope for this, that, or the other at Christmas. You know, we throw that word around kind of fickly. Hope. Capital letters. My soul is safe. It's secure in God's hand, right? I can sin. I still sin, right? Spoiler alert. I sin. I open up doors. I do. Has stuff poked at me? I think so, right? Is some of this stuff that maybe I think was stuff poking at me, just me looking under rocks for demons? Could be. I've seen and heard enough. I believe that this stuff is real, and my hope is in him. That's it. I'm not attacking these things on my own. It bugs me out. I'm not going to ask God to show me a demon. But if it comes, I have the King of Kings on my side. Okay. So how do we apply all of this? What do we do? I say self-reflect. Am I okay, right? What would happen? Right? And this probably isn't going to happen to us. I think most people don't have stuff like what happened in my friend Ben's house when he was growing up. I don't think most of us see that in our lives. But are you good with God? Is he your source of help and power? Or are you doing stuff on your own? Or is it coming from somewhere else? How are you sure? How do you know? The Bible's very clear about all this stuff. Again, we all have to make up our own minds. My mind's made up. Right? I've seen and heard enough. Cling to the one who's already defeated sin and death. Delve into his word. It's the Bible, right? He's not lying to us. You know, there's hope in there for each and every one of us. There's hope for you, Nate. There's hope for you, right? Hope for my wife and my son, Evan. It's there for you. There's the hope, right? It's right there. Delve into his word. Let it work in you. It should hurt a little, by the way. There's a whole sermon in that. But it should be uncomfortable at times as you surrender to the one wise, true King. Ask God to show you something you need to change. We've all got stuff we need to change. Good way to go. Ask God to reveal more of himself to you. Be careful with that one. Sometimes you ask for something and he'll give you all of it. Just saying. Find a way to serve someone in need. What did Christ say, right? Serve the least of these, you've served me. You serve Christ when you serve others. Find someone in need. Those wonders for you. All right, we'll wrap it up. We're running out of time here. Next steps, I've got three of them for you. Self-reflect, what kind of faith would you bring to a fight for someone's soul, yours included? All right. Examine your relationship with our Creator. How well do you know him? All right. How deep is your faith? Do you have a thimble? Do you have a bucket? Do you have a drop? Bring it. That's all you need. All right. It's not a contest. It's a yes or a no thing. Yes, Jesus, you're my King. Not sure is a no, right? Will Jesus stand up for you on that day? Think about it. It kept me up at night a whole lot. Back when I was kind of fighting with it and like, evolution got a hold on me and you know, maybe God is a God, but you know, evolution is real because we can prove it, right? Well, another sermon for another day, right? But will Jesus stand up for you on that day? That freaked me out for a while. I wasn't sure. I am now. Carefully again, when you pray this one, pray that God would use you in fighting his battles, people's very souls, their eternity is on the line. Let me pray for us one last time, and then I believe you got a thing? All right. Here we go, if you would. Father God, I again thank you for everyone in this room. Thank you for the opportunity to talk here. I pray, Lord, that you would use these stories and this message, use your word in our lives. Let us desire your kind of justice, your kind of speech, your whatever it is, speaking in tongues, speaking through your word. Let that be what sustains us. Let us not look at the darkness and despair. Let us not look at and believe these stories and think that you know, what are we going to do? Because ultimately, we're not really going to do anything. We're going to call on you. You're going to fight our battles. Let us be in a place with you where we're confident, where we know where we're going to go, and so that we can help others and have that level of confidence to bring to conversations that might come up. Lord God, thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for suffering and dying. You didn't have to. You did not have to come down here and suffer and die and be brutalized to death for us, but you did. That's the depth of your love for us. And I just pray for people in this room who know you, that they would go deeper with you. Those who are on the fence or don't know you, I pray, Lord, that they would really think long and hard about you and where they stand. So thank you for being you. In your name, amen.
How y'all doing after all that? A little light in the stomach. That was different, wasn't it? But it is. We got to peek behind the curtain a little bit, and there's real stuff out there. And so now, as you've been maybe jostled a little bit in your stability, we want to come back down and remember, as Rick brought us back around to who's the greatest one out there. We know him, and so I want to just start by praying the Lord's Prayer together. So that's going to be up on the screen, and why don't you rise to your feet. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to sing a song. This is one that Rick had requested. It's been around for a little while, but I never played it before, so you may or may not know it. But most of us know this. Now, read it on the screen. It may be slightly different wording from what you're used to, so let's all read together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen? 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 Right. Oh. spirit that exists will bow before him.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
No one can.
Who can stop the Lord?
It's wise to start now. We bow the knee. God, we bow before you, the King of kings, the Lord of heaven and earth and everything in it. God, we bow before you. We have bowed before you, and you sent your Son who, in a way, bowed before us. He gave up his life. He gave his blood, all of it. Incredible love. He did not have to do that. The divine Son of God gave himself for us, arose from the dead, victorious, King of kings, King over death, King over Satan, King over all the dominions and all the powers that ever were, ever will be. You're the King. So God, we bow before you, and you have lifted us up. You've given us strength. You put your Spirit inside of us. Thank you for the possession of the Holy Spirit of God. God, we have what we need. So, Lord, I pray that as we walk out of here, we'll be encouraged and strengthened, not to go tackling demons, but to not be afraid, because greater is he who's in us than the one who's in the world. God, strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Rick. He put a lot of work into that, a lot of research, interviews. You guys can have a seat, but thank you. Thank you for that. So before we go, we'll just shift gears again and lighten things up and just remind you of things that are coming up in the near future. So let's see what's first. Home groups. We've been on break for the month of August, but September's coming. I think it's the second week of September. We're starting up again. And so for today, for the first time, we've got sign-up sheets downstairs. If you've been in a group and want to stay in that group, that's fine. If you want to jump into a group, Monday, Tuesday are the options. Downstairs, the sign-up sheets are there if you want to jump on and find out who's leading what groups and when they're meeting. That's all downstairs. You're welcome to talk to me. Talk to Jake also. He's one of the leaders. But that's starting up in just a couple weeks. So keep that in mind. Deacon nominations, it's that time of year, October. It's going to be toward the end of October is our annual family meeting, and there's a possibility of bringing in new deacons if there's deacons that are nominated. We also talk about our budget for the year and do all that businessy stuff. So that's coming up soon. We also have big party coming up. Most of you probably saw the email or got the invite. We're inviting all kinds of people from 25 years of history. We're trying to remember all the people who were kind of an important part of the church family. So we're sending emails out. I've heard back from like 15 to 20 people that are not here anymore. Like, that would be awesome. And so Pastor Mark and Kathy, his wife, our founding pastor, is going to be here. That's going to be a good time. So that's October, October 8th. That's coming up. And the last thing, I have one more thing. I thought I had one more thing. Maybe I don't have one more thing. Oasis. School is starting again really soon. Woo! Come on. We're excited to have school starting again. But with that comes another season of Oasis. This is maybe our 10th season. We're bringing these students from across the field to our basement down here and just loving them, providing a place for them. If you have time in the afternoon, we're still looking for people who've got time to give. From like 2:45 to 5:15, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If you got one afternoon a week, could really use some help. If you love kids and want to love kids, you come, you start engaging with those kids, you'll start to love them. I promise you that. But that's coming up. If you can't be there but want to make donations, we accept donations too. They eat a lot. So that's starting up soon too. So thank you guys for being with us today. Thank you, Rick, for bringing the message. And go in the strength of God.